All right, we are live from the Fraught Quarters, another week of the Fraughtcast. We have the whole crew. This is your ear rapist, Ben. Even Brendan is back from pooping and vomiting.
Yeah. Hollywood miracle diet. I feel great. I'm ready to walk the red carpet.
He's still really tall, but he lost like 600 pounds.
Yeah.
Your favorite blogger, Vince, is here.
Hello.
And Brett.
I like that Brendan's mostly shit weight. Once he gets a good purge going, he loses about 60 pounds.
Don't forget
I'm like 60% muscle, 10% body fat, and whatever the rest is doo-doo.
Fecal matter. We got a great show. We're going to talk to John, who did the Mr. Stash
John pitch. Nash.
John Nash, Mr. Stash pitch to American Express. We got some great emails this week, so thanks for those.
Piece of fuck.
That's me from the past. Vince did see Fast Five, press screening of that.
Wah!
And Vince and Brett went to Vegas and survived.
Wah!
No,
that's not
you can
it.
Never be the lead singer Disturbed.
So much more talented than I ever could have imagined.
Is it Disturbed?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He's got them things in his ear.
So you guys went to Vegas and survived?
Sort of.
Oh, we also got, you guys made some more Koi store calls.
Oh, yes.
Vegas.
We got the sequel to Koi Skin Vest tonight.
All right.
Yeah.
For the much anticipated sequel to Koi Skin Vest.
For those who don't know, I think
edges
that was,
of our seats.
That was like Fraughtcast 2.
Look it up, you lazy bastards.
Our friend made some prank phone calls to a koi store, I guess it would be.
A store that sells koi fish.
Yeah. I don't think we should get too specific on this, but yes.
Well, I don't think the guy thinks it's a real call.
Fair. That's true.
So when he listens to it, I don't think he's waiting like, oh, wait, where's the number?
It could become a legal issue.
Erection, you're on you.
True.
Hammering it in there.
Well, so let's...
Oh, Vince also got a new soundboard.
You got two soundboards.
Two soundboards. Good job, you guys. Jeez.
Wow. The power of the Fraughtcast is so real.
I'm shedding a tear.
Vince complained for days and weeks that he doesn't have a soundboard, and two of you actually sent one in.
It's a salty jack-off couch
guys,
this week, guys. Extra salty with tears.
You guys, you two guys that made soundboards, you get four John F. Kennedys.
On a scale of queer to unqueer.
On a square of retarded to super queer.
Or to wicked awesome.
What's your rating?
Well,
I give it four John F. Kennedys.
Era.
I love the stadium sound quality.
Yeah, it gives it a regal air.
You need to be on a jumbotron when you're doing that.
Yeah.
Era.
Believe it or not, we did like the soundboard that you sent us of us talking. We really enjoyed that.
We forgot how fucking funny we are.
No, Shia LaBeouf is going to tell you about how it's important that someone is peeing on a lawn somewhere.
Shia LaBeouf? What the fuck?
Shia LaBeouf.
No, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia.
Shia LaBeouf and Bono.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia
LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Who's that on the phone?
I
think it's Laramie.
Is it Laramie?
He's a good
Laramie.
African.
Yeah, we're just
Chie la bois.
A bunch of retarded parrots.
So on
also caw.
We like hearing ourselves talk.
So that was one soundboard from was Wakas, I believe. Wakas? I'm not exactly sure.
I like to say it backwards. It's just Saka.
And then the other one was from A. Hupe, who...
I don't know!
Exactly, I don't know either. But the subject line of the email I did appreciate, which was dick butts.
Yes. Dick butt is an underrated internet meme, if you ask me.
Is it?
I think it is.
Would you say so?
Yes.
That's cool.
Underrated.
Did you guys want to talk about Vegas? Do you want to read some emails?
We could talk about Vegas. It was eventful.
Yeah?
All right, so one of our friends, the groom, actually got robbed at gunpoint.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, he disappeared one night on Saturday night, and we were at the Hard Rock, which is, my God, I've never seen a place so tooly and douchey.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how shiny were the shirts? 10 being very shiny.
No one was wearing shirts, man. It was Vegas.
Well, I feel like tribal tats are the shiny shirts of torsos.
So it was like wife beaters with tribal tats?
There was some dude with delt implants, right?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
A good 3 inches off from his biceps. It was weird.
Not even approaching natural looking. They looked like he was on the juice and, you know, was up like 250 or so and then got deltoid implants and then went off the juice and slimmed down to about 210, and now he's got these softballs sticking out of his deltoids.
So you guys went to a Carrot Top show?
That's all natural. Carrot Top.
That's all natural synthol injections, Brendan.
That's what gingers
look
like.
Olive oil. It's lower in the bad cholesterol.
Yeah, so there was that guy. So anyway, we were at the Hard Rock, and our friend disappeared late Saturday night. He was really drunk, and the next thing he knew, he was getting a ride to the Hard Rock, and instead, the guys giving him a ride took him to a gas station and took his wallet and apparently went on an $800 shopping spree at Walmart. So that's where you go if you're the gangster just buying.
That must have been a lot of shopping carts.
Yeah.
Unless they just went straight to the TV aisle or
just
something.
Pampers, just straight Pampers.
So many diapers.
Jumbo box of Lucky Charms, just fucking bulk.
And we found out that the last person to see him actually saw him at the Hard Rock. So we think he might have left the Hard Rock and asked someone in the parking lot for a ride back to the Hard Rock, which probably pegged
detour,
him as,
standard detour is a gas station where they rob you.
Yeah. Pegged him as a rube.
Yeah, look at here, see?
Oh, this one.
We can fleece this rube.
You're already at the Hard Rock, see?
Yeah,
no problem. We'll give you a ride to the Hard Rock. Hop in.
Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Want a cigar?
Get in my jalopy.
So that was fun. And then on Saturday morning at about 6 in the morning, I was awoken to a stripper or hooker or something. I think it was a hooker. She sounded like a hooker.
Probably
going,
a hooker slash.
Where am I 200? Where am I 200? There's a random hooker in our room. Meanwhile, we're sharing five of us in this room with two beds.
Come on, college style?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did it totally.
While pretending to be two in the room so we didn't have to pay the extra $200.
Oh, yeah,
charge.
Mega college style.
Oh, man.
And so I wake up at 6 in the morning to some raspy hooker rifling through the hotel room, pissed off, demanding her $200.
Well, not entirely pissed off. She'd kind of forget she was pissed off and be like happy she was partying.
Yeah. And so then I guess what happened was our other friend that was staying there was coming back from the tables at about 6 in the morning and got in the elevator with this random lady. Nice lady.
That's a lady of the night.
Who started grabbing at his crotchal area and at some point asked him, can I go back to your room? I got to pee. And it's like, I thought that seemed like a cool idea at the time because, you know, story value. And so he brings her back to the room. And she goes to the bathroom and leaves her wad of cash on the bathroom sink, at which point he thinks it'd be an even funnier idea to take her wad of $200 and hide it in his sock. So she comes out. She starts yelling. I had been asleep throughout all this point.
You've been asleep for at least half an hour.
Oh, at least 3 hours by this point. And then I wake up, and my first I sort of half open my eyes. I think pretty sure she yelled, "Where's my $200?" about three times before I actually woke up. And then it all hit me all at once. Like, we're in Vegas. There's a hooker in our room rifling through our stuff and demanding to know where her $200 was. I was like, oh, man, we are fucking partying so hard right now. And so I got out of my bed and I grabbed my iPod and I stuck it on the little iPod dock in the middle of the room and I started playing Space Unicorn really loud.
Oh, nice.
And I was dancing on the bed and then the hooker comes up and starts pretending, like pantomiming a blowjob with me because she's just that kind of girl.
Yeah. Well, if she's not going to do a real one, she might as well mime it.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was fun. Fun trip. Fun times.
Oh, man. We are partying.
Yeah.
Just waking up to a screaming hooker in the room.
And we gave her money back so she would leave. And she somehow, in that 20 minutes that she was there, managed to leave her glasses and an earring in the room.
What?
Did she come back for the glasses and the earring?
No. So I think hookers just walk around shedding accessories.
If anyone in Las Vegas sees a one-earringed hooker wandering around, you know they were partying with Vince.
That's the one.
I lost two weaves in the Elite Press on.
I don't know, dude. Found her in the elevator. Thought it'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, she had to pee. Whatever.
He's being a gentleman.
No good Samaritan.
No harm in that.
No harm, no
she
foul.
She was just riding the elevator until she had to pee.
Meanwhile, your friend was getting robbed at gunpoint by 20s gangsters.
Yeah. No, that was the next night.
Psst,
but yeah.
Mac. Psst, Mac. Come over here.
Oh, you need a ride. Yeah, no problem. See? Hop on in.
Why don't you talk to my friend Tommy here?
Say, Mac.
Yeah, sure. We can give you a ride to the Hard Rock. Right, boys?
Sure, boss. Sure. We'll give this Ruble a ride. Yeah.
Pull down the rumble seat.
So that was it? That was Vegas?
That was Vegas.
All right.
I mean, what else is there to tell? It's just a horrible place filled with terrible people.
flying in. Oh. We just look down, and Vince leans over and goes, fuck!
All right, I also forgot we were at the pool. And like I was saying, the Hard Rock pool is just a cesspool of humanity. Every waitress there has, they went to the same doctor.
And the same tanning salon.
Yeah. And
same doctor for their place. The same doctor place. For their C-section scar.
Yeah. To cover it up. There was multiple like Pauly D style blowouts.
No, really?
In real life.
Yeah. And there's the guy that worked there. I love how every guy that works at the pool at the Hard Rock in Vegas look like they flunked out of the same modeling school, where they all have that sort of, they're vaguely pretty and buff in a non-athletic sort of way.
and they wear their wristbands up on their forearms.
Yeah, yeah, and they got all their arms are all nice and shaved.
Yep.
And so one of these guys was this guy. He had a black sort of faux hawk thing, and he had the super manicured chin strap.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Like pencil thin.
Pencil thin. I don't even know. First of all, that's really hard to do, I'm pretty sure. And secondly, even if you are a douchey tool, that still went out of style in like 2002, 2003.
How about
the Backstreet Boys?
You think he like mascaras it up because it's not?
It looked pretty dark. It was at least dyed.
For a white dude, that is never a good look.
Yeah.
Never.
Ever.
So we're sitting there just sort of making fun of this guy for like 2 or 3 hours at the pool.
As long as he'll have us.
Yeah, yeah. And eventually he sort of sidles up to the group and picks out me for some reason. So what are you guys doing tonight? And eventually starts trying to sell us on bottles, pures, like going off tonight.
Do you guys like to party?
I can hook you guys up with bottle service.
You guys like to party? You guys look like you like to party.
Like, this was it last week, and he starts showing us pictures on his cell phone. Like, okay, great.
No, he shows these
pictures.
Like,
great, I can't walk anywhere. There's going to be a line for the bathroom, and yeah. I can't even talk to any chicks because the music's so loud.
The best part is these pictures are just like a fucking 1,000 people in the square foot. Just like, oh, look how many people we shoved into this tiny club. Doesn't that look like fucking awesome?
It's all geared towards convincing idiots they're having fun. They just have
that's music, exactly what it is.
The music that's just a collection of obnoxious sounds where it's like... Have you heard that? I don't even know what instrument that is or what it's mimicking. It literally sounds like...
It's a sick bird. Yeah. It's not an instrument.
And so the guy introduces himself, Captain Chinstrap, who was just riding the Chinstrap train to Pussytown for the next 10 years. His name was Dragon.
Well, it's for people who are so stupid they can't talk to each other. So they're like, we'll just crank up the music.
Yeah. Let's fucking dance, bro. Let's get some drinks and dance.
Ugh.
And the pool was like that too. So it was just my ears are ringing of I can't take any more shitty music.
Did you get pregnant from going in the pool?
No, the pool was also really cold, so that didn't help either.
Oh man,
yeah,
that doesn't help with your girth at all.
No, it makes it look more wrinkled though. That's good.
Ladies love the wrinkled.
It makes my penis look distinguished.
I don't always shrivel, but when I do, I also shrink.
But on the plus side, we do have some more koi calls.
Yeah.
Anybody want to hear those? Do you want to hear the sequel to Koi Skin Vest?
Yes.
Yes.
If you guys remember, I don't remember what broadcast that was, but
it was one of the single digit ones, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say under 10.
I do enjoy how a reader suggested we do a best of show. It's like, shit, we don't edit, let alone listen to any of our previous ones, so that might be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But we'd totally laugh at it if you put it together.
Yeah,
for
if someone
us.
Wants to put it together, Vince will post it.
If someone wants to put a best of, we'll definitely post it.
That sounds like a job for an intern.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we don't really need any backstory on this. We've been calling this number for a long time, and
I'm going to tell it anyway.
One of my friends is really good at prank phone calls, so. It's not really like a regular prank phone call where you actually get to react from the person. It's just I just have to keep telling the story into a machine. But we've been riding this.
It turns out he's like as good at that as anyone is good at anything in the world.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, good evening, Richard. This is Joey. I'm a return customer, but I'm not going to leave my message twice. You need to fucking listen the first time. The first time I fucking talked to you, the first time I left a message like this, I thought I would never have to leave a message like this on your phone again, but here I find myself. So let me refresh your fucking memory, you stupid piece of shit. I called you about 6 months ago about a badass koi skin vest, and you made me one sleeve. And we had a to-do about one sleeve, and I thought that we'd handled that problem. You responded to my inquiry in a satisfactory manner, and I was very pleased with the work that you did, completing my koi skin vest, transforming it into the most badass koi skin jacket in the koi skin jacket industry it's ever seen. Now I want to revisit the purpose, one of the features that you guaranteed me for this koi skin jacket. One of the reasons that people ride motorcycles wear leathers, things like that, koi skin jackets, it's not for looks, though the koi skin jacket looks great on me. It's for protection, and we talked about heat, abrasion from the road, fire. And you demonstrated the fireproof qualities of koi skin. And that is why I chose you, Richard, you fucking cocksucker, to make my koi skin vest, which was solely for looks, into a koi skin jacket to protect me from fire, because I ride my bike through fire, and you knew this, you fucking asshole. You demonstrated to me that your koi skin was fireproof. And I didn't tell your customers when you fucked up the demonstration and lit your own stupid fucking dreadlocks on fire. You look like Bob Marley's little fucking brother, his fucking cocksucking cancer patient brother, who nobody picked for fucking dodgeball. You're like the little fucking white kid that nobody wants on his dodgeball team, that everybody hits with the ball. You got these stupid fucking dreadlocks. You burn them off your fucking head. Hey, it's a weave. I can tell. I can fucking tell, Richard, you fucking asshole. But I didn't tell anybody that. I didn't tell anybody because I said, this guy's going to make me a fucking koi skin sleeve. You only made one. I remember that, you fucking dick. Let's not revisit that. I still want to remind you. I want you to revisit it, but I'm not going to revisit it because I'm over it. Fuck you. One sleeve. Fuck you. You made me another sleeve. I rode to a fire. I thought I had a fireproof koi skin jacket protecting my arms. I know what you fucking did, Richard. Synthetic koi skin is flammable, you motherfucker. I rode through fire on my motorcycle. Sturgis. Fire. Flammable fucking sleeves, Richard. Vest, inflammable. Sleeves, burning like the fucking sun, you piece of shit. Richard, you fucking lit my arms on fire. The fucking synthetic koi skin fused to my skin. I don't have fingers, you cocksucker. I have fucking flippers. I have synthetic koi skin colored flippers that look like toasted marshmallows. I have fucking lobster claws. Lobster boy got nothing on me, you motherfucker. I'm coming for you. I was willing to let one sleeve slide. I'm not willing to let flippers go unnoticed, you fucking asshole. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for your family. I'm gonna take you to the lowest pit of hell where Mussolini and Hitler get beat down and butt fucked by animals. You stupid piece of shit. I hate you. I hope you fucking die.
So do you know for a fact that this guy actually has dreadlocks, or has our friend just...
I'm not sure. I think we might have done the
research. Inserted that into the mythology.
I'm not sure. It could go either way at this point. It's been a long time coming.
I do like Vince's girly giggle through the whole entire call.
Yeah, that's what you can expect with me around.
Oh, yeah. You're just so happy and enjoying
it's
it.
It's one of those things I bring to the table, yeah, ladies. I will giggle girlishly as you do things. Here's the other one. I like that he can maintain such a high level of absurdity with his prank calls.
Yeah, I would be done after like 30 seconds.
That was like almost 5 minutes.
Richard, you are the man of the hour. This is White calling from Big Tom's Aquamamalotos. Richard, I'm calling to inform you that you are the proud winner and lucky new owner of one Chevrolet Otter car. Heyo! Heyo!
Arrugga!
Heyo! Richard, you, the koi man with the dreads, looking stupid, feeling shitty, fat, ugly, dumb, poor. You build koi pools. We give you cars.
You're the proud owner of a new auto car. It runs on anemone shit. It's a renewable resource, Richard, and everyone's going green. Everyone's going green, but you're going brown, Richard. Brown, the color of anemone shit. I hope that you've got a shovel and scuba gear, because to power the otter car, you must crack open the sea anemone on your fat, bulbous stomach. Pick up the sea anemone refuse with your grubby little fingers. Twist some into your hair, because God knows you must keep that look up. It requires some maintenance, and I appreciate that. And the aquarian mammal automotive industry appreciates that, and that's why we've chosen you, Richard! You as the proud winner of One Otter Car. So crack those anemones open, Richard. Grab that refuse, twist some into your hair, and put the rest into the tank and floor it, because you're going driving, buddy, in your brand new Otter Car. Where are you going to go? To the dispensary? Do you have a card? Do you give a shit? You going to see your parents? I don't think they want to see you. But drive over anyway, because it's all on the ocean now. You're going green. You're going brown. You're going all kinds of places, Richard. Places you've never been before. Taste success for the first time in your life. Courtesy of the sea otter, the sea anemone. And Mike's Aquarian Automotive Mammal Grip. Fuck you.
Wow. That was amazing.
Otter Car.
Otter Car. That's pretty sweet.
Well, I wonder how much Dreadlocked Richard listens, because he comes back from a weekend.
There's no way he listens to more than 3 seconds of
he
that.
He comes back from the weekend. He normally has like one message. And he comes back.
Like, oh, I want an Otter Car?
He comes back and he's like, you have 48 messages. Huh, busy weekend. Oh, I want an Otter Car and some guy. Oh, fuck, this Koiskin sleeve guy's back.
Now, does he write this stuff down, our friend?
No, the Otter Car was ad hoc. He just whipped that
together. Tells me he comes up with ideas beforehand, but I'm pretty sure Otter Car was just a complete, like, on the spot sort of.
Guy's a genius.
A Mr. Stash situation.
Yeah. He definitely is.
Do you have another one that you wanted to play?
Do you want to play the other one? I didn't vet this one.
Oh, what?
No.
Then
okay.
Well, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I love the Otter Car.
I don't really keep track of space and time too well.
Neither do I. It's tough. Do you want to read some emails from our loyal listeners?
Or you want to talk Fast Five?
Yeah, that's a
do thing. Do the emails, and then we'll talk Fast Five.
All right.
Got so much to talk about. The Rock.
So
wearing a tight shirt, sweating everywhere. Oh, boy. That's his teaser.
He's gigantic.
We call that
movie.
A teaser in the business.
He got swollen.
He did. He got swole.
Yeah, he did.
Vin Diesel got bloated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yes.
So Vin Diesel, not so much at the Hard Rock Pool, The Rock at the Hard Rock Pool.
No, he would fit right in at the Hard Rock Pool.
Okay, because he's bald.
The Rock, they might have to go to, I don't know, whatever the cooler version of the Hard Rock is.
I don't know. I don't think
there is one in Vegas.
They're all cooler.
They're all,
than
yeah.
Hard Rock.
Well, there you
go. Or not as cool, kind of depending on how you look at it.
The win.
Yeah, the win.
I wish they'd all explode.
Look, everyone's a loser. Let's just get that out of the way.
I've never been to the win. Is that good? It always looks fancy on the way in.
The win?
Yeah.
With two ends?
It's like a big
crescent
swooping thing.
I hate Vegas. I hate it so much.
Yeah, so do I.
I won money, though. Won like $200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can buy yourself a new jack-off couch.
So first off, just to clarify, both Brett and Vince were correct on Jamie Lee Curtis. So we got an email from Jay Adam, and the email title was Jamie He Curtis, which I thought was clever. As a self-proclaimed film drunk medical consultant, I thought I should shine some light on the Jamie Lee Curtis situation. It is my understanding that she allegedly does have the XY chromosome going on. Allegedly, she has a condition called androgen insensitivity syndrome, meaning that she has lots of dude hormones floating around, but a faulty receptor means that they have no effect. Because of the weird way that we all grow from a fetus, she develops female external genitals and grade A cans, but no internal lady parts.
Hey, man, I took the biology of human reproduction when I was in college. I knew that. There's actually another condition which is related to the androgen insensitivity where
It was surprise penis.
Where there was only first of all, when you're in the womb, that's actually true.
Surprise! I play that game with my lady all the time.
I know where he's going with this.
It's actually true. But when you're in the womb,
that's his favorite game.
To become a guy, you have to have an XY, and you have to have working testosterone receptors. So if one of those things goes wrong, you can have XY, but then you still are a female externally. And I guess there were certain cases where I think it's either have XY or XXY, and like a partially working androgen insensitive androgen receptor, so you're partially insensitive to it. So there was a certain group of these girls in South America where they would grow up as little girls, and then they'd hit puberty, and because they're only partially insensitive to testosterone, like when their puberty spurt would hit, and they were just body was flooded with testosterone, they would grow a penis during puberty. So
that would be a bummer.
That is a bummer.
That'd be kind of a yeah.
Oh,
especially not for so much for the girls, but for the guy dating them.
Hey, yes. Hey, Vince, remember when you were a girl? Man, you were a bitch.
Why are you guys gonna bring that up?
One day,
I got a penis. Hey, what's that? That's a penis.
Surprise! He was almost crying for no reason at all.
I did like the email that we got from Molly, which was titled Shittin'.
I do like any email from a girl that has shittin' as a subject line.
Hey, Fraudcasters. I just thought I'd share this little anecdote with you so you can appreciate that the ladies' bathrooms have janky latches, too. I remember a while ago you talked about the conundrum of to shit or not to shit if the door on the bathroom stall starts to open mid-shit. I was at Mel's Diner on Geary this weekend, which is in San Francisco, for breakfast and stopped by the bathroom on the way out. I pushed open the door and was greeted by a 20-something woman in the first stall, door wide open, pants around her ankles, farting up a storm.
Slow down.
It took her a second to react to someone walking in, and I had a glorious moment of shaming eye contact.
Oh, yes.
Before she stood halfway up and managed to slam the stall door. While I was peeing, she just sat in the stall next to me, completely silent except for the errant fart. Like I might forget that I had walked in on someone taking a dump.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Thought I'd share. Molly. Mm.
Shitting Molly.
I sort of picture women holding in farts the whole day until they have to, I'm going to let them all out of the bathroom at once.
Thunderous.
Wait. Labia is just vibrating from the thunderous farts.
We should invite Molly to Frat Quarters and have her talk about farting.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Molly, if you're listening, come by Frat Quarters. You can be on the show, but only if you talk about farting.
How do you feel? How versed are you in fart discussions? Because, one email, Molly, may not be represented.
Does not a fartiste make.
Exactly.
Vince, I don't know if I don't know if you wanted to read this one in your Australian accent, but we did.
It was Brendan that had the good Australian accent. Oh. Not
look how jealous Vince
Everybody
is.
Everybody likes Brendan.
Phil, who I would think lives in Australia, wrote, "G'day, fraudsters. Knowing that members of Team Fraught have a solid understanding and appreciation of both rugby league and Four Loko, I thought you might find this amusing. The Parramatta Eels have unearthed a promising rookie this year, and while it is pleasing to a long-suffering fan such as myself, what makes it better is that he wears number 4, and his last name is Loko, spelled L-O-K-O.
Not only that, but para, in Australian slang, is of course short for paralytic, meaning drunk. So he's the para for Loko. That's pretty cool.
Drum roll.
Ear raping piece of fuck.
Yeah.
I love the rhyming slang. That's good on so many levels. That was with the Seppo. We learned that in Australia class from this. Who is the dude who emails us in, Ben? Do you have that on your computer?
I was not listening to a word you said.
Anyway, it turns out Seppo's rhyming slang in addition to meaning septic tank, which is fun.
I don't get to watch much rugby league these days. The rugby channel no longer carries it. It's just rugby union.
I don't like rugby league anyway.
Yeah, I prefer rugby union to rugby league, but I did used to watch me some league because there's some good fights, or as the Aussies like to say, always the biffo.
Mm-hmm. So many. Oh, should we save the corporate ones for next week? Or we could read that one. Go for it.
I was going to read just sort of the end of it.
Yeah.
So from Fernando,
he sent an email that he said, this isn't so much of a corporate soul-crushing story as it is someone going balls out on a business trip that eventually led to their firing. Summary, they went on a business trip. He was supposed to meet this guy at the airport at about 5:30 in the morning. The dude is a no-show. He calls him multiple times. So what happened, I'll read the end of the email. It was a little long, Fernando, but I did enjoy the story. But Fernando says, apparently, my coworker went on a Charlie Sheen-style bender in Montreal, complete with cocaine and strippers. He met up with someone he knew out there and went on a three-day coke and whore binge. They figured out that as what you do in Montreal, of course. They figured out that he was so bombed out of his mind that instead of using his personal credit card to make purchases, he was using the corporate credit card. He racked up over $5,000 in charges at strip clubs, sex shops, and bars over the course of the weekend. From what they could see on the time stamps of the charges, it was as if he hadn't slept the entire weekend. Eventually, he passed out late Sunday and overslept, not waking up until Monday afternoon when he tried catching another flight. He didn't make it back to the office until Thursday morning.
Oh my God.
Not surprisingly, he was fired the second he walked through the door.
That's always a bummer. I remember I came back from one of my vacations on what the hell was it? I came back on a Monday and when I got back, they made me wait through the entire day and then called me into the office at 4 p.m. the day that I came back from like a week vacation and fired me. I was like, "You know, you could have fired me by email. I didn't really need to be here for you to tell me I'm fired."
That happened to me. I got laid off the day I came back from a vacation as well.
Isn't that annoying?
We didn't want to tell you before you left. Anyway, you're done. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Yeah.
All right.
Why would you not want to tell someone before they left?
Well, yeah, because it's like they sort of turned off my computer. They did not like I was going to steal anything, but someone was already at my desk when I came back. shutting down my computer, like, oh, dear, I'm going to go on a rampage and...
Hey, we'd like you to meet the new Ben.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm the new Ben.
Hello. Hey. Hey, those are nice ears. Can I rape them?
Did they do the thing where they didn't allow you to go back to your desk?
No, they allowed me to go back to my desk because, I mean, I had some personal effect. Like, I had to come in. I had to leave right then. And then I think they had to, like, have someone come over with me. Maybe they had boxed up my personal belongings and I could take that a later day. But I basically had to leave right then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fucking do so. It was kind of weird. But I also didn't need to come in the morning. I could have slept in. What the fuck?
Yeah, and it's also a weird mindset because you go on vacation. And, you know, after you're on vacation for 3 or 4 days, you sort of get in vacation mode where the work version of you is like a distant memory. And so you sort of forget what it's like to get up and work every day.
You
don't miss it. You forget what it's like. You're totally in a different state of mind. And then you come back to work and it's feeling strange to be back at work the whole day. And then to get fired that same day. Then you're just in this strange job purgatory.
Yeah, but it's sort of...
dick move. That's all I'm saying.
It's dick move, bro.
Everybody that fired me, you guys can all fuck straight off.
Was this from Porn Enemy?
Look at me now.
Yeah.
I got a jack-off couch.
I'm not saying...
Talking into a computer.
Yeah. I'm not saying I showed them, but someday maybe I will.
And I'm still waiting, but... Yeah,
I've been biding my time. Don't think I forgot.
Don't ever forget.
Don't think I
forgot. Just saving up the success. Just keeping it on the inside for a while.
One of these days, this book proposal isn't going to get rejected.
Yes.
Oh.
Too close to home.
That's what your agent said to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Tell him what he really told you, which is very sad, not for you, but for the state of humanity.
What?
Because you're not.
What?
Snooki.
Well, he didn't tell me that, but that was my inference.
Oh. But I thought he actually told you.
You're not Snooki.
But you are not Snooki. Let's get back to the point here.
That's true.
Wait, are we sure if we checked on this?
What?
That you're not Snooki.
He's not orange enough.
No.
I mean.
Yeah.
Could be.
Let's not rule. All right, let's just
not rule it out. I'm not willing to rule anything out at this point.
I do enjoy pickles.
I don't know. Birth certificate.
Yeah. Ooh, birth certificate. Oh. Big news. Topical.
Topical. Topical. I wish that the people who challenge Obama's birth certificate would just like get real and be honest and be like, "Hey, look, we're sorry about like causing social. We just really hate black people. Like we hate black people, and it like really bothers us that one is actually a president. So sorry about all the confusion. I wish we could have just. Hey. Oh, it feels really good to get this off my chest.
And to me, it's like it's such an asinine argument because okay, if you brought this up before the election or during the election, that might be one thing. But to me, this is like, you know, Mike Tyson goes out in his heavyweight bout and he knocks some guy out. And then after the fight, everybody's like, dude, he shouldn't have been licensed. I was like, well, that's kind of a moot issue at this point, isn't it?
It's like, it's just kind of like the sore loser, you know? It's like the kid on the playground who like loses and then claims he cheated, you know?
He
like,
shouldn't have got that title shot. Yeah, well, yeah, but he did win, though.
Well, Trump's just in it for the circus effect. Course, even after he released it, it's like, yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying we have to be careful because it's a little convenient that it came out now. He's like, he's the most powerful dude on the fucking planet. If he wanted to fake a birth certificate, he could have done it fucking years ago.
And no one wants to admit they're wrong, so everyone like has all these like funny...
we'll have to be careful.
Well, everyone has all these like funny things where it's like, people like... Look, I understand that he has a birth certificate, but really the heart of the matter here and what's troubling is the lack of transparency. It's like, well, you weren't saying that. You were saying that he's literally not a citizen. So now you're saying like, oh, he's got a lack of transparency because he wasn't showing his birth certificate. Well, by that logic, every fucking president that's ever served the United States has had a lack of transparency because none of them had to show their birth certificate. Because none of them were black.
Wow.
And you guys are fucking racist.
Not to mention there's 1,000 legitimate arguments you could make for Obama not doing a good job, and I'd be fine with a fucking lot of them. But then to bring that one up, I was like, really? That's the thing that you're going to latch onto out of everything that you could have brought up?
I hate to break it to you. Our country's not very smart.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's just a fact.
Yeah, when I was sick, I was reading. I kind of got like sucked into like a political hole, and I was also reading Matt Taibbi's book Griftopia, and he's got a whole chapter on the Tea Party, and it just like it just
does it make
it
you
just
want
infuriates
to
me. Yeah, it makes me so mad. Like he was talking about
some hobo is getting so strangled tonight.
Well, it is kind of funny because he's like. He gets just as angry, so he's talking about the Tea Party, and he goes to a Tea Party event, and they're complaining about how like white people aren't getting enough credit in Black History Month, and he's like, you either have to be retarded or like just obscenely narcissistic to like complain that the white man isn't getting enough credit in America for Black History Month, you know? And it's like, I felt like that kind of like distilled the whole.
They should give us credit for letting them have this.
Yeah, exactly.
We came up with it, didn't we? Right. I think we might have.
And it also made me think. I think it's a Chris Rock bit where he's talking about like if anyone tries to say that like there's no racism in America or like the black man has it great in America, he's like, there's no white person in America who would trade places with me, and I'm rich.
I trade places with him in a goddamn heartbeat. Kidding me? I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out
there.
Just
saying.
There's a lot of black guys I trade places with. I'm just putting it out there right now.
You would give up your life as Snooki to be a black gentleman.
I would give up all this for a life of luxury.
But you would never give up the jerk-off couch.
No, that's mine.
Give it all up for a stomped on taco I saw on the way over here. I want that taco's life.
Tacos are good.
Somebody loves that for a second.
Oh, speaking of the black man not getting a fair shake. My evidence today was the fact that Michael Jai White is starring in the TBS sitcom, the adaptation of Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married?
Oy.
Black Dynamite is the star of that. That just doesn't seem...
Yeah, but TV shows are very easy to make, and he'll probably make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, but that's like Will Ferrell starring in the Bill Engvall show.
I don't know what the Bill Engvall show is.
Exactly. Is it a TBS sitcom? What other TBS sitcoms do you know of?
The Ice Cube one?
Is there some hilarious ones? Yeah, exactly.
Ice Cube one.
Are we
one.
There yet?
TBS is the new UPN.
Yeah. Double-double-double-U-B-E.
Oh, that's right, with like the minstrel show Frog. That was so offensive.
I know. Whose idea was that?
Oh, it was awful.
I think on the Chappelle show, they had like a blackface frog or something.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he was doing... I think he cited that sketch as one of the things that made him quit the show.
It was the little racist pixie.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah, that exactly.
Was, yeah.
Because and he said he didn't like the way one crew member was laughing at him. He just didn't.
Yeah.
I see what Chappelle's saying, but I don't know. It always bugs me when people do that because that just it makes it like you can't do any edgy sort of humor because you're always if you're worried about what the lowest common denominator is thinking about, you're comedy, you're not gonna do it at all, or you're gonna make shitty stuff if that's what you're worried about.
Yeah, I think it's just when you get to that level, you get all these people you hate thinking, reutilizing all the shit that you actually care about. Like,
yeah.
That's it's like the fucking exit through the gift shop, right? Where in the assumption that it's real, you have to watch the thing that you cared about get crushed by a bunch of people who don't understand and you probably don't like.
Can you imagine how awful that must have been for him to go out in person or go out in public and hear people just like yelling across the street, "I'm Rick James, bitch!"
Yeah. Well, I feel like it's harder for Chappelle because he does have that weird thing where his appeal is too broad to where everybody likes him, but you know, usually for some stupid.
I don't
asinine.
Understand that we're not actually friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I saw him in San Francisco. He lives right by. He's got a permanent residence right by in like the really nice hotel. I forget which one it is. It's right by my office. And I saw him on a skateboard, and I was like, "Oh shit, that's Chappelle!" And I was like, "Hey man, what's up?" And just like waved and like was just kind of trying to be friendly. And he gave me like the dirtiest look, and he's like, "What's going on, man?" Like, and he just looks like so upset that I was bothering him, you know?
Yeah,
I did see him a couple years ago. I saw him and Mos Def cruising around on motorized wheelchairs downtown San Francisco because they were just like coming across the light, and Dave Chappelle was basically laid back like he was in a Lazy Boy, just going like against the light, cruising all over the sidewalk. I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
You waved to him, dude. Don't. I told you not to recognize.
Well, I was like, "Dude, what are these bums in wheelchairs doing?" I was like, "That's fucking Dave Chappelle." I did a quadruple take.
That is awesome.
Yeah, just cruising around in wheelchairs.
Did he yell, "I'm Rick James, bitch"?
I did not. He did have a, I don't think, remember if it was from a stand-up bit or just him talking, but he said for a long time, even just in the bathroom with his kids, he would be like, "I'm Rick James, bitch."
That's right. I think it was like at Disneyland or something. He's like in line at Disneyland and people are yelling like, "I'm Rick James, bitch.
I'm here with my kids.
You gotta call me a bitch in front of my kids?"
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get John Nash on the phone, and he can talk Mr. Stash. Bloop him in, Vince.
Well, we got John Nash here from the, I don't know if you guys remember, the pitch from The Awesome Adventures of Mr. Stash, I believe it's called. The winning pitch of, what's the name of the contest again?
My movie pitch.
The My Movie Pitch, the American Express My Movie Pitch. Here, I'll replay the pitch for you just to refresh everyone's memory. Plus, it's pretty awesome.
Just in case you forgot, John.
This movie is going to be about a man who grows a mustache, but nobody likes his mustache.
Refresh your memory,
and people hate him because of his mustache. So all his friends leave him.
Sorry, it's
playing. And it's a very serious drama about a man and his mustache. But he meets a girl who also wants to grow a mustache. So they all fall in love. Him and the girl fall in love. And they grow a mustache together. But when they get married, it gets really serious because the guy has to go to war. He has to shave his mustache. And the girl is pregnant with a kid who has a mustache. And it's just it's a very Greek-like tragedy about a guy and his mustache.
Yeah, that was the pitch. So, John, you won the contest, and they ended up making a short of the film for Tribeca.
Yeah.
Was it even close? Was second place even close, or did you blow away the competition?
There were a couple differences, but how it really came out, you know, I really loved how it really came out. I mean, like, some stuff they had to cut out the whole war sequence, because, you know, it was around, like, 10 minutes, so it was kind of, like, really hard to fit in there, but...
On the war budget? They're American Express, come on.
I think it was more like of a time issue, really, because it was like, I feel like, you know, if you did that whole thing, it would be like, you know, like a whole kind of like epic saga, kind of like Star Wars, I guess.
Well, we could do a text crawl.
I can see the parallels.
We could do a text crawl at the beginning where, you know, here's a man and his mustache.
Get him up to speed.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But like how they did it, it was like a really... really quirky, you know, kind of like funny, awkward, kind of like The Office, kind of in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I really like how they approached it. Like, I was kind of afraid, like, when I won the contest, like, they were actually going to take it seriously. And then, like, you know, when I saw what they were doing, I was like, okay, cool, you know, that's awesome. So, you know, I was really happy with how it came out.
And they were faithful. Did they have a mustache baby?
It was actually different. It was the baby has a unibrow.
Interesting. Interesting. Isn't that isn't it like a Nickelodeon show with a kid with a unibrow?
There was Maggie's rival on The Simpsons that had the unibrow,
yeah,
like the ugly baby.
That's true. That's sort of like an old-timey ugly baby thing.
I think so, yeah. You're right. It's got like a cigar. Yeah. It's getting pushed around in one of those like old British strollers.
Pram.
It's a pram. Pram.
Yes,
a pram.
Pram,
yeah.
So, John, tell us about yourself. How did you come to this contest, and how did they treat you well? Did you get women to choose from at the film festival? How did that work?
Well, they treat me like really nicely. You know, everyone, you know, really took the time out, you know, to talk to me. You know, they really like made sure like everything was going okay. You know, they're emailing me, telling me what the story was with everything. I was, you know, it was during the summer when I discovered the whole thing, and I was on YouTube, and like one of those advertisement things came up, and I was like, oh, you know, that sounds cool. You know, it was basically, you know, give 60 seconds and, you know, 60 seconds of an idea and they'll make it to a movie. And I was like, you know, that's pretty cool, you know, because I was always into filmmaking. So, like, I tried to submit, like, a pitch about zombies, actually, but, like, something was, like, going wrong with the internet. So I was kind of like...
Zombies. Zombies got the internet. They got to it.
So, like... No, so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to, like, test it. Maybe, you know, the idea is good enough for the internet. So I gave out the Mr. Stash thing. It was mostly improv, but there's kind of like a backstory to it. You know, I make movies with my brother, and one of the movies, like, he had, like, a disguise for some reason, and it was actually a mustache, and... The mustache, you know, just kept falling off, and, you know, he got frustrated. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, like, turned into, like, an inside joke for me and him.
Yeah. That's Brendan. That's what's happening to Brendan's fake mustache right now.
I know.
He puts it on when he leaves work as he's coming over here.
I was hoping the guys wouldn't recognize me, but they knew it was me right away because the mustache was falling off.
Mustache glue is surprisingly little hold.
I thought I was going to be a special guest star.
Nope.
He just showed up at Frat Quarters. We're going to have him on.
He tried to replace you, John. Not going to happen.
Sorry. No. It was Invasion of the Body Stashers.
Watch.
Woo!
Come on.
I wish I had my soundboard up for that.
So, what would you put if you had the soundboard, Vince?
Oh, I don't know. Something really funny.
Probably something stupid you said.
Yeah. Gonna be stupid.
Yeah, no, doing it now. It's too late now.
Hey, Brad, it's probably gonna be stupid, huh?
Yeah, it's totally gonna be stupid.
Stupid. Oh man, that was stupid.
Shut up. So, John, did you collect any business cards? Did you make any contacts while you were there?
I tried to talk to as many people as possible. I didn't have any like really business cards. It was kind of like I didn't know who was who really. So, like, you know, there was, like, at the after party, like, there was just a whole bunch of people there, and, you know, people were, like, coming up to me, like, oh, you know, congratulations, you know, good job and all that. I'm like, oh, you know, thank you. Like, I kind of, like, put my name out there, you know, like, oh, I like to make movies, you know, I'd like to maybe hopefully do something. You know, I didn't really have anything to give out. You know, I really should have, but, like, you know, it's just one of those things, like, I didn't know who was actually going to be there.
They didn't make Mr. Stash swag, like t-shirts and hats and stuff?
They actually made goodie bags, and nice. On the goodie bag, I don't know if you saw the poster, but it's basically like just a couple of mustaches, but they have like a goodie bag, you know, they had like fake mustaches, they had like a mustache candy.
Nice. Did you get any sort of cameo or anything in the short film?
Is there candy in the movie?
No. Did you get to have a cameo? Were you actually in the movie at all?
Oh, no. I wasn't in the movie. I was, I saw the shooting, which was really cool. They were shooting the scene with the baby. No, I'm not in the movie at all, though.
Yeah, I remember, I was at, I still have a Sucker Punch t-shirt from Comic-Con. I have 3 or 4 t-shirts from movies. I don't know what people do with them, especially if the movie's bad. But it'll be like, Sucker Punch, coming April 12th.
You know what happens? I think there's a lot of kids in Africa wearing Sucker Punch
yeah,
t-shirts.
That's true. That is probably
Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champ t-shirt. Yeah,
exactly. A lot of those.
Oh, too soon.
It's true, though.
Sorry for our listeners in Buffalo. So, upstate New York.
So, John, what do you do when you're not making movie pitches on the internet?
I'm basically a college student and just working.
Good times.
Yeah. I go to school at Rockin' Community College. I'm kind of like known for taking improv a lot, which I really firmly believe really helped me with this whole thing.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I love it. And like, you know, that really helped me. I'm taking like acting classes. I actually have a thing due tomorrow. It's basically like a demonstration of what we do in class, but it's like a fight class where we fight with swords and we act out Shakespearean scenes and then do fight swords and demonstrate all the moves and stuff, which is pretty cool.
That sounds awesome.
Do you do the thing where if a guy hits you in the arm, you have to pretend like you don't have an arm and then you keep going?
We actually had to do something like that, and like it reminded me of Role Models, so I couldn't help laughing. So like it was really funny, and like how, because a lot of people were familiar with the movie too, so like when it happened, like everyone was quoting, you know, like, eh, that's funny.
I remember seeing those guys when we were in college and thinking, when is somebody going to make a movie about this? Because this is an interesting little subculture here.
It makes me think of Holy Grail. Monty,
yes,
Python.
That too.
Although his arms actually did get chopped off.
There was also that movie Wild Hunt, which never really, and I'm not sure if it's going to get a release.
Is it starring Helen Hunt?
No.
It's
a movie called Wild Hunt. It's basically about these guys that are Viking, that do Viking
Helen
LARPing.
Hunt is Wild Hunt.
And, and
WYLD.
And I don't know, like it gets all dark.
This
like they
time
take it all
she's
serious.
Mad at you.
And then Brendan talks about Helen Hunt. And then somebody gets raped. And I don't even know.
Come on, that would be great.
It would be.
Hunt or Wild Hunt starring Helen Hunt. This time she's mad at you. And then she like shoots somebody.
I think I like Helen Hunt as Wild Hunt better.
Right. Yeah, her first name is like WYLDE.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like Wild Stallions.
Yeah, Helen Hunt is Wild Hunt in Wild Hunt. This time, she's mad at you.
Well, John, thank you for coming on. Brendan's going to talk about Helen Hunt some more. But
John,
I love her work.
John, are there any movies that you want people to watch on YouTube or anything?
That I want them to watch?
You said you make movies with your brother. Are there any movies that you want the listeners to go to YouTube and find?
You got anything to plug?
Go to Nashman19, I think. That's my YouTube account. That's my other YouTube account.
How are the movies on there?
How many movies? I think there's about 12 movies, maybe? Some of them are really bad, just to give you a heads up, so when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, it's really bad. You know, just a heads up.
We appreciate your forthrightness.
Yeah, we like the honesty here on the broadcast.
We can do the YouTube.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, like...
Not everything on YouTube is perfect sterling quality.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. But hey, man, thank you for coming on. If you got anything, you know, anything else that comes up, feel free to send it over. We definitely enjoyed the pitch, and I don't know if they ever put the short online. We'd love to check that out too.
Yeah, when?
Okay, yeah, that's online too. It's you know, you can just look up Mr. Stash on Google or YouTube, and it's one of the things that comes up.
Mr. Awesome. Stash, we're doing that right now.
All right, man. Thank
okay,
you.
Cool.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, no problem, man.
Vince, Fast Five. You saw it.
Who the fuck is Nick Cannon?
That was good.
That is actually a good review of Fast Five, because that's kind of what I felt like the whole time I was watching it.
So is Paul Walker, is this all he can do now?
He did pick up...
What can he do other stuff? It's not like he's a great carpenter.
Well, I just mean...
I, Paul Walker, stare blankly.
He... Duh. I mean, is he the worst Duh. Actor... ever?
He says it like softly though. He's like,
I know, he adds, he trails, he kind of feathers out.
Other
who's even comparable?
Other than the kid, the white kid on Modern Family, I cannot think of another comparable terrible actor.
All right, let's only compare him to adults.
Keanu?
No, Keanu's way better.
Keanu's way better.
Keanu has had moments where he's been good.
Keanu at least has some awesome movies.
Well, they cast Keanu in roles he's built to play though, where it's like
The Gift.
He was
pretty good in The Gift.
What's The Gift?
Sam Raimi movie where he plays, has Katie Holmes boobies in it. Side note.
Oh, he has yeah. them like in a box.
Those yeah, exactly. Great. No, but he play, Keanu plays like this crazy redneck guy. Pretty good.
They were amazing.
Those great.
Those
nothing about the movie.
Great
those
boobs.
Those were great.
They were great.
They're great boobs.
Just what she's, I mean, she's probably like 22, 23 at the time. Yeah. If you don't have great boobs when you're 22,
you're fucked.
Give it up.
So Paul Walker's probably, I heard he's getting an Oscar nod.
Yeah,
for Fast
definitely.
Five. Finally.
Well, I think it's like get out of the room. Get out of here. Yeah. You can't see what I'm doing, but
it's kind of fascinating to me, you the know. Whole
fascinating.
Fascinating, yes, exactly. Because you know, I don't want to hate it. I realize it's bonehead. Everything about it's dumb. But you know, I enjoy stuff like Commando and old Arnold movies. And I enjoy a lot of stuff that's dumb. I totally get things that are sort of deliberately bonehead, but there's
sort
something...
of moving the plot along just so they can drive cars into each other.
Okay, first of all,
it's just a little too self-serious.
Well, no, nah, I mean, first of all, it's kind of like pro wrestling with cars, because in the first scene, they're trying to break Dom out of prison. So first of all, there's a big prison bus driving through the desert, right? And so
they always do.
So Jordana Brewster pulls her Acura NSX that like the wolf drives in front of the bus and plays chicken with it. Like a fucking prison bus is gonna swerve out of the way for an Acura NSX.
Those prison buses get really nervous when someone tries to play chicken with them.
So it swerves out of the way, and then they drive Dom's like Dodge Charger, and they stop it in front of the bus.
Oh no! What's the bus driver gonna do?
They just pull up and they stop it right in front of the bus that swerved. So do you know what happens next?
I would think it.
Tell us.
The bus drives up and it shoots off of it like it's on a ramp. Like, if you know, because if you just park your car in front of a bus, it'll shoot over the top of it. Like they could have written a ramp into it. Like, he pops the trunk and, you know, like presses a button shoots down.
Dude, it's science.
Yeah. Truth be told, Brett and I do this every weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if you didn't go to high school, but that was like the day one of science.
Yeah,
school.
Riding buses over cars as a ramp.
I missed
how to.
Chargers ramp. Class.
I will say, though, if nothing good comes out of this movie except for the Dodge Charger car commercial with the people spouting poetry and punching through windows, mm-hmm. totally okay.
I did like that. But so basically every single scene is just hammering its unbelievability over your head. And so I was watching it thinking this is kind of like pro wrestling. Either you want to see these big guys shout at each other or you don't, and you're willing to do anything to see that. But then there's also this weird undercurrent of complete like materialism. And
was it enjoyable in the stupid action movie sense, or was it just bad?
I guess if you're into that, I mean, it's all shaky cam. It's interesting to watch The Rock, because The Rock and Vin Diesel are having these face-offs, and they actually, I think they just made it a part of The Rock's character that he was going to be really, really sweaty all the time. So he'll be face to face with Vin Diesel. And first of all, he's wearing a Under Armour guard basically the entire time, like a little tiny baby shirt. And him and Vin Diesel are always like nose to nose, just mean mugging on each other.
Don't kiss me, bro. Don't kiss me. You're getting too close.
You're so hot. I want to sweat all over you.
So he's just like sweating bullets the guy in like the Coolio video for Gangster's Paradise?
He's got rivulets like coming down his forehead, and Vin Diesel's completely dry.
Vin Diesel
obviously
got
had to
his
be
sweat
a conscious
glands
decision.
Laser removed.
Yeah. And Vin Diesel, by the way, getting kind of bloated and fat. Not looking so good.
Vin Diesel's a cyborg invented by Hollywood, so he doesn't sweat.
Apparently. So yeah, just lots of yelling. And
were the car chase scenes even cool, or are they just too much shaky cam?
I guess it's just at a certain level of complete unbelievability. I don't know what it gets a little too far removed from anything close to reality.
I mean,
for me.
I imagine that it's been made much more, like each one has become more ridiculous than the last. The only one of those I've even seen is the first one. And I was just like,
I saw the first two.
This is so stupid.
I thought the first one was really stupid,
too.
You
dropped out at Tokyo Drift? What the fuck?
This bastard kept me out of handcuffs.
Yeah, the first one was Point Break, but dumber and about cars.
Yeah.
And it's a feat to be dumber than Point Break, because Point Break was not...
It's a bummer because car crashes and chases are one of the last things you can do without needing CGI, or maybe even cheaper, right?
Well,
just smash these two cars together. That looks awesome. Do it all in camera.
it's yeah. It's, they don't use like a lot of CGI. It's just.
Well, that's what I mean. How do you blow that? Just make a movie called Car Chase Fight.
It's not totally. That. It's not totally unenjoyable. If you like the first Fast and the Furious, you're probably gonna like this movie. But you're just watching it and the first on one of the first scenes that you probably saw it in the trailer where they go over the cliff in that convertible.
Yeah, and they jump off the back.
Was that okay. Thelma and Louise?
So first,
more like Triple X.
First of all, every heist they plan in this car series is how can we plan the most absolutely inconvenient, completely incomprehensible heist scene?
But it does involve cars, so it's got to be inconvenient, but involving cars.
Yeah, one of the things they do, they steal cars out of an Amtrak train. So they pull up to the Amtrak train in this like souped up dune buggy thing, and then they bust out the flamethrower and cut a hole in the side of the moving train. And then,
you like the blowtorch?
Yeah, the plasma torch.
Okay.
And then they hook up this hydraulic thing that shoots the cars onto the dune buggy. And it's obviously they're driving through the desert, so obviously there's got to be a reason they're driving this dune buggy. So what do they do with the cars? They just fucking let them ride out on the dirt, and then they drive through the dirt in the sports car that.
Of course.
Yeah. So
I like how they.
So they're pulling away in the dirt in this, you know, 60s Stingray or something, and Paul Walker's riding on the back, and they're trying to catch up with this train. What are they going to do? Oh, they're coming up to the cliff. They hit a 1,000-foot cliff going like 90, and they just fly off the cliff like they're fucking base jumping, and then they just hit the water and come up like Indiana Jones, like, whoo! That was refreshing.
Close one there.
Yeah.
That was a close one, Vin Diesel.
So, you know, every scene's like that. So, if you're
Wasn't
into that.
Paul Walker cool. a cop in that movie?
He started out as a cop.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Oh, he's not a cop
He's
anymore.
Gone rogue.
Oh. How's it feel to be on the other side of a wanted poster?
Hey, how does it feel?
I made you that poster with crayons.
Remember when you used to put your face on the back of the wanted posters with my face on the front? Well, now.
Now you're on the other side.
Yeah, now we're both
now
on
we can
the
take
front.
Two wanted posters and smush them together and make each other kiss.
Get off me, bro.
Dude, you're hella gay, man.
You are. Hey, you're gay. Get off me, bro.
I always enjoy it in movies like that when they use $1 million of equipment to steal like $500,000 or something.
Yeah.
Three cars.
And immediately drive them off a cliff.
Yeah, some plasma torch, some like magnetic.
Yeah, why did they steal the car to drive it off a cliff?
They didn't mean to.
Oh. It all went wrong, man.
They're just not very good.
He made a call, and it was the wrong one.
Well, sometimes when you live your life a quarter mile at a time, things get fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then every heist is planned based around the fact, like, we're going to need someone who's really good at driving.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Can he hit the gas real hard and go straight?
I imagine Vin Diesel when he's in prison. Is in like a Magneto like container, right? Where they're just like, we just need to keep him away from cars because he's just too fucking fast.
Whatever you
and
do,
too furious.
You let him near a car.
Yeah, like Hannibal Lecter's cage, where
like in the plexiglass surrounding,
and someone drives in there, parks their car like 30 feet away. They're like, do you fucking know what you're doing? Get that car out of here! Get that car out of here right now!
It's like the ramp that leads up to it, like Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Get that fucking car out of here!
Yeah.
Why would you park there?
He's got to be further than a quarter mile away from any car.
That's how long he lives. He lives his life that length.
So absolutely nothing about it makes sense. The plot is they're robbing the big crime boss in Rio, who has a network of cash houses all over the city where he stores his cash.
Like all crime bosses do.
Yeah, and so their plan is to rob one of them and then see what he does when he consolidates all his money. And so what does he do after they rob one? He consolidates all his cash houses in a safe inside the police station. Which makes you wonder, why the fuck was he storing his cash in random houses all around the city if he had a giant safe in the middle of the police station?
Well, sometimes you want to get quicker access to it.
Yeah. And so every heist, it's like, oh, shit, just got more complicated. We got to get out of this. And then, you know, everybody's like, no, it's too, the heat's on us. We can't do it anymore. And no matter what it is, Vin Diesel doesn't even take, like, a breath. He's like, no, bro, I got an idea.
shit just got complicated. Fuck, man, I can't do math.
That's the most far-fetched thing is, like, Vin Diesel is the brains of this whole operation.
And he just looks like, no. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go balls to the wall again.
All right. I'm going to need a crayon, some dirt, and some sand. We need to diagram this right now.
And a car.
A fast car.
Yeah. It's basically Brocean's 11.
Heyo.
Fuck you. No rim shot for that?
You're ripping piece of fuck.
Yeah. That was all I had at my disposal.
Oh, well. So, not much of a recommendation unless you're the party planner at the Hard Rock, in which case you'll love it.
Dragon will love this movie.
Dragon will love this movie.
Oh, yeah, he will. Yeah, well, that's the other thing. It's like I want to understand Fast and the Furious because I guarantee you it'll do over $50 million this weekend. Everybody fucking loves the franchise.
They made goddamn five. This is the fifth one.
I think the last one had a $70 million opening or something ridiculous like this.
That's a lot of money for cars driving around.
Yeah, I want to like it.
How are they going to fit a six in the title?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Fast six?
Fat. No, you got nothing.
Fast to the sixth.
Sixth gear.
I do really like
Fast and Furious sixth gear.
That's probably going to be it. That's pretty good.
I really do like picturing Vin Diesel locked up in some plexiglass thing where no car keys or cars can be
sitting
anywhere
there
near
in his white jumpsuit with his hands crossed at a table. Yeah. With a tiny matchbox car on it. Just squeaking it back and forth.
That's all he can play with.
Yeah.
One day.
Close up, pan out to Vin Diesel.
Pew, pew, pew. They gave him
a
slot car track that he can play with. That's all that's all he's got now.
Slot car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
I did read sad news on Film Drunk today. They're making another Terminator with flabby old Arnold.
Yeah, and the director of Fast Five.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Fantastic.
So it'll be
Have you guys seen his cartoon?
Arnold's?
Yeah, it is weird.
What is he?
The Governator, you
mean?
Yeah,
it is weird. It's done by like three different animation studios. Looks like a joke. He's got children in his basement that randomly scamper out from behind his machines. It's weird.
So he's the Governator?
Yeah.
So he's a Governator Terminator?
Yeah, and he's just milking his old lines.
Oh.
He says, "I'm back," like, four times.
That's the stupidest idea in the world.
It seems like it's fake, but I heard it.
We created a backstory for your already reductive nickname.
Yeah, it's makes me a little uncomfortable.
Like I said, it was like if Carl Malone started a sitcom about a mailman.
That would be funny. I think we're on to something.
I'm Carl Malone.
Hey, guys, what are you doing?
I'm the mailman.
He pulls up in his big truck.
Yeah.
Hey, you got any 14-year-old women I can impregnate?
That's my special power.
Did he get a 14-year-old pregnant?
Yeah, that guy, it was because the reason it came out was...
His daughter was super good at basketball, right?
No, it was a guy he was...
No, he does have a daughter that he was like estranged.
Right, right.
He had an estranged daughter.
He's got a ton of kids, but one of the kids was a boy, and he played football, and he got drafted. He played at like a smaller school, like Division II or something, but he got drafted in like the seventh round by the Bills, and so it came out that Karl Malone was his dad, and so he said he'd never met him, and once the story started getting out, someone reached out and somehow like arranged a meeting, and apparently he like went and introduced himself, and Carmel and said, "Well, you're grown now, you got to pay for yourself, I ain't giving you no money." And that was their interaction. But then like through all the interviews it became very obvious the mom was like 32 years old. You know, and it was like once people did the math, it was like, wait, this girl was 14 and Carl Malone was like in college at, where did he go? He went to like Southeastern Louisiana or something. So, yeah.
I do like that all his kids are just superstar athletes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any relationship with them, but they just dominate.
I thought that was a very underrated bit that Jimmy Kimmel did on The Man Show.
It was amazing.
This Karl Malone.
Oh, I'm Karl Malone.
You ever shoot some squirrels? Shooting squirrels is a whole lot of mess of fun.
That was good.
All
right. Are we out of things to talk about?
This it, Vince?
Dude, you want to talk about Dragon some more and his chin strap?
I could talk about Dragon all day.
We also...
It's a douche helmet, and that's how he keeps it on. Don't want that shit flying off, the party gets too wild.
It's all spiky like a World War I German helmet. Kaiser.
Oh, God.
The Kaiser made me wear this.
I need to build one of those.
Yeah. So I guess the groom got a cabana, which... is very prestigious, where you like pay thousands of dollars to hang out in
by the same pool, but in a different place.
Yeah, and then so at some point
you get a place to put all your $400 bottles of booze,
mm-hmm. and then they assign you like this whore who's like your handler who comes up and asks you
whore.
Want stuff. And at some point she comes up, she's like, "Oh, I have some other girls who would you be okay if they wanted to come hang out with you?" Blah blah, you know, like six girls. And I'm just wondering, is there just a separate whore line where they hang out there and hope there's some guys in a cabana who have bought a cabana to look cool, but don't look cool because there's not enough whores hanging out with them.
Right. Well, it's the same thing as bottle service.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a difficult equation, but it's basically you spend enough money, you want to look cool with the chicks in your booth, but if there's not enough chicks there, you don't look cool, and so they try to bring around the expensive girls that just probably want to party.
I used to work at a bar that had bottle service, and it just mystified me. We're going to charge you $300 for a bottle of Grey Goose, you know, like.
But you get this private area.
Yeah,
and you can buy a full bottle at a time. So there's that.
You could drink it when it's there.
Hey, we'll bring you mixers for free.
You can orange juice.
Yeah, you want or cranberry if you want.
You can have either
or both.
That's how important you are. You can put them together.
You want club soda? We will bring you that.
You can spray it on people if you pay us more.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
You
never
don't,
mind.
You don't,
never
you
mind.
Don't get
yeah,
any
yeah.
more after you spray it on them.
Okay.
You only get one.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
So they brought all these girls up, and you could tell they weren't, you know, they weren't the first run.
They gave you the
JV. Yeah. They call it the JV.
They were not the featured attractions. So they all had.
Hold on. Are these just girls that like to party with free booze, or are these prostitutes?
I don't know. I still don't know. I mean, they're not prostitutes. They were just girls that they found at the pool who are, I guess, willing to hang out with random dudes and be hoary.
But it's for free booze.
Yeah, but it was kind of like the B-girl in the porn where they all sort of had the trappings of whores, but you wondered how they became whores because they don't seem to have the natural skills for it.
They lack charisma.
Yeah. They're like a white guy on the basketball team, yeah. Like working really hard.
You can evaluate them like the NFL draft. It's like, lacks natural whoring skills.
Yeah. He's got big hair, but
must improve nose size.
Low upside.
Yeah. So I just wonder if you just wear like a really, really small bikini and put on too much makeup and get sort of big hair, do people just sort of see you from 50 yards away and go, she looks hoary.
This will work.
Yeah.
This is fine. I've already spent like $1,000. Might as well make it worth it.
I'm just rocking the sub-cost fallacy. I just do not want this to be my weekend.
Right.
I wonder if there's
definitely some guys who just see that and immediately think that girl's hot. They're usually idiots. A lot of them are pervy married guys where it's like, oh, the chick's hot. And it's like, no, she's not. Look at her. She's fucking ugly, but she's like got fake tits and wearing a tiny bikini and a fake tan and ton of makeup and big, huge whore hair. And you're like, oh, she's hot, dude. And you're like, look at her face. She looks like a banshee.
This makes you almost as angry as the Tea Party.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask if all stupid people are nearsighted and partially deaf. Where like all their women have ridiculous fake boobs and way too much makeup and just sort of a mess. You can sort of see what they look like at 50 yards, and then the music is just, well, how can we get people's attention if they're fast asleep?
Wake them up.
Just trying to
nurse that bird back to health. Just petting it. Just be like, you're going to survive, buddy.
There's one song that's just a series of drum beats and squeaks and the guy going, Barbra Streisand. And then it goes back into the drum beats and squeaks again.
I've heard that. It's awful.
And then I love how there's no subtext to the song. It's just like, I want to fuck you tonight. That's the name of the song. Or we're going to fuck tonight, or you're fucking me tonight. I forget what the hell it's
called. Fuck!
Those are all the different remix songs, actually.
Yeah, same album.
It's called the Fuck Song.
it's the Fuck EP, and they're all on there. We're fucking tonight.
The Fuck Song, I'm doing it remix.
I'm coming in you.
Fucking.
The Fuck Song, Bust a Nut remix.
There's pull out alternative track.
Yeah. All right.
Why can't you be more verbose tonight? What's your problem?
Me? I've been talking plenty.
Hey, didn't you?
Why are you blaming me?
Because it's all your fault.
I apologize. I did forget to, I think it was Wakas. I'm definitely saying his name wrong.
I've been using his soundboard this whole time.
I did forget to tell his Fraudcast story. So he said, to one up the Fraudcast Got Me Laid stories, I can tell you that my current girlfriend and I have definitely banged to the Fraudcast, like while it was playing. It was unintentional, I swear, but as it was just running on my computer. But how creepy is that? Ear rape?
while ear raping.
I hope it was the one where I was making like the fake orgasm sound. So like he's trying to have sex with his girlfriend. I'm in the background going,
I like imagining that your sex noises, your semen is like trying to squeeze knives out of your penis.
Yeah.
Just makes you so unhappy at the end. You just stop.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You're so
mad
angry
about what just happened.
Jizz razor blades.
He's so angry.
Ah, you would be too if you jizzed razor blades.
It's like Wolverine. Does it hurt?
Every time.
Adamantium sperm.
Clang. Clang.
Well, time to put this one to bed.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Brendan, welcome back. I'm glad you're not pooping water anymore.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for all your support, Frotcasters. Frotcastees.
Well, Brendan, you want to take us on out of here?
Yeah, send us more good stuff. It was a good email week. Frotcast@gmail.com.
We got more. We'll save some of your work stories for next time until we get some more.
Absolutely. Keep them coming.
Got a few good ones.
Yeah. And until next week, good night and good chins.